Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome, it's the Bill Michaels Huddle. We're broadcasting live at one of my favorite places. That is Bullwinkle. That's where you can find us, and we are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We are glad you are here and listening to us this evening, whether you're here in the studio audience, so to speak, or whether you are actually listening to us around the state of Wisconsin. We are glad you're on board. Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM and 1250 AM. The Fan is here with us. The morning show, part of the Chuck and Winkler show. How you doing, buddy?
Bill, it's been long overdue for you and I, us veterans out here.
Hey, I'm just glad to be here, man. You know? I'm just glad to be here.
You have nine lives.
Yes, I do.
You have 15 lives.
Yeah, well.
But Brookfield is alive and kicking, man.
Yeah, it is.
Brookfield is no longer that sleepy community anymore.
No, it's not. Back in 2000, so ever since then, it's been going downhill. Yeah,
there's got to be a it's going up. It's rolling tonight. Man.
Yeah, it's packed in. This place is always crowded. As a matter of fact, between this place and then right across the street at some of the places over at the corners of Brookfield, and my buddy Tim runs a Silver Spot over there, and we've got Von Maur. Everybody seems to go to and shop at. And Brookfield Square now has gotten bigger. They've got that Whirly Ball and cinema and theaters and. And they've got the bowling alley in there now over there. I mean, there's so much to do out here. You never have to go anywhere.
No, it's unbelievable.
And Waukesha has actually really, I don't know if anybody's been downtown Waukesha lately that's listening to us, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really clean itself
up. You go out to Sunset Drive out up that way on the south side of town.
That too.
Where, there's a bunch of... Yeah, here we are. This place always seems to be packed when we come out here to do the show.
Always packed. So the big reason we are here is because it's the Huddle, and we get ready for the Packers taking on the Carolina Panthers this weekend at Lambeau Field. That game has been pushed to 3:25. It is going to be a flex game. And, I was listening to you guys this morning, Chuck, and one of the most interesting conversations was when you had Ryan Wood on. And I love listening to Ryan. Ryan is a very down... and he had a great point. And I thought one of the points that he made when he's now when a kick goes awry or one doesn't go through the uprights, everybody wants to scream about it. But more so than anything, the regret is, oh my God, we got rid of Trevor Davis and everything is so bad. And then Ryan said, well, wait a minute. You know, there's only been six punts returned. And they've got a total of, and this is unbelievable, but a total of negative 8 yards
on
the season, which is terrible.
Yeah.
And we want to talk about the punt return game. And then he started saying, you know what, though? Guys blocking the gunners on the outside. I mean, he didn't come out and say it, but it's been terrible.
Yeah, because usually when you think of the return game, automatically you're thinking of the return guy.
Right.
You're saying, why is he fair catching?
Right.
Why isn't he not getting any yard? Why is he running backwards? But in this case, he made a great point because we're talking about all the action is happening upfield away from the return man, and that's an issue. I feel like, Bill, forever, we complain and fans complain. It's been a long-standing issue all the way back with Nolan Cromwell, back in the 90s, was the special teams coordinator, that the special teams have been an issue in Green Bay. Now, the punter and the kicker themselves doing fine.
Right.
J.K. Scott is great, Mason Crosby, but I feel like everywhere around that in the special teams is a disaster this year. And as you know, the special teams are a third of the team.
Right. Not that special teams is going to be something we're going to spend a ton of time on. I just found the conversation rather interesting that's one area, even when Mike McCarthy was the head coach, they never really had that big return game. The last time I can remember a good returner, and I brought this up numerous times, Alan Rossum.
Yeah.
You had a good one his first year in Randall Cobb, but Allen Rossum was the last guy I can remember that being a really quality returner, but they also had very good special teams.
And funny, the MVP of that 96 Super Bowl was the return man, Desmond Howard.
Correct.
So Desmond, Roel Preston was in there.
Yeah.
He was in the mix somewhere along the line.
Yep.
But Rossum, a guy who did it in Atlanta and of course, a short time in Green Bay. But yeah, ever since then, I mean, you run through the gamut of the Robert Brooks and the Antonio Freemans and the safeties like Mike Pryor who were just out there to fair catch so nothing would go disastrous.
Yep, no doubt. So the Packers get ready to take on the Carolina Panthers. What about this matchup bothers you the most?
Well, Christian McCaffrey, it starts and ends with him because Christian McCaffrey is such a force and he is such a tough takedown. 3 touchdowns in his last game. It starts with him. Normally, I would have said Cam Newton, but he's hurt.
Right.
And McCaffrey is taking over the reins of that team on offense, and he has been the man. Feel that, you know, if you stop him, which they haven't been able to stop the run all year long, you got a chance. I have a good feeling the front seven, including with the safeties, are going to do a nice job on him coming up on Sunday. I have this hunch that he is finally going to the Packer run defense is finally going to meet their man and rise to the challenge at home.
The one thing that I've heard all week, and I do believe it's true, is wake-up call. And then you heard Aaron Rodgers say this was humbling. Guys didn't take it serious. I mean, between him, Za'Darius Smith, a couple of the leaders on this team, they really pointed the finger at everybody, themselves included. But basically, it sounded like there was a pocket of guys that went to L.A. and looked at it as a party and not a business trip. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to explain what exactly went wrong there. I mean, to say that they went out there and drank and all that, I'm not so sure that, I mean, who knows really, but you didn't see any reports to this day of social media. You would have guessed with Packer fans out there, somebody would have caught somebody
right
on videotape or on a picture, but I didn't see anybody.
Yeah, I didn't hear about it. Yeah.
Something definitely went wrong, but how could a trip from L.A., from Green Bay to L.A. get so screwed up?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense because we, you know, when teams from out here go out on the West Coast, you always kind of hold your breath to begin with. But when you see such a flat effort and you hear that there are other distractions out there, it's like, man, what could be worse? They get off on the plane and they play a football game. They go to a couple of meetings on Saturday night at the hotel. What else could be wrong?
The Packers come into this game. It is still a defense that, even though they're somewhat highly ranked, they're descending. They're not ascending. And the defense has been... Now, the offense was terrible in this last game, and the pass rush got to him, Bosa and Ingram, and those guys were all over the place. But does this defense that is allowing more and more, we'll say, yards, and now points are starting to escalate, how much is that a concern to you?
Well, I think sometimes the offense, if it's not producing... Now, in October, the offense averaged 32 points a game, so that wasn't a problem.
Right.
But in this game, when you have 60 yards of offense through the first three quarters, the offense couldn't get the defense off the field. Offense was going into so many three outs, they couldn't convert on third down, and that was a problem. So I'm going to blame some of the defensive problems on Sunday on the offense, not staying on the field long enough. And then at the end, in the fourth quarter, when the Packer defense is trying to stop the Charger running game, when everybody in the building and on TV and everywhere in the state watching that game knew that the Chargers are trying to run the football. And then you have Eckler and you have Gordon running the balls right down Green Bay's throats. The Packer defense is spent at that point.
By the way, if you want to get a hold of us, come on out and say hi. We're Bullwinkle's out here on Blue Mound Road in Brookfield, right across the street from the corners of Brookfield. Chuck Freeman alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. And this is a terrific place.
We're only charging $50 a selfie.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal right there. And that's kind of 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take 25 apiece. Yeah. We don't mind that. So come on out and say hi. One of the things that I found interesting when you talk about the defense has gone from 12th overall. They are now sitting at 26th. Overall,
yeah,
that's the alarming thing. When you know, when I look at the Packers defensively, and I know that the reason this team won games in the beginning was because of their defense. They went from the top 10, and now they're tied for 11th in points per game, which has continued to escalate. At one point, it was 11.6. Now they're sitting at 21 points per game, tied for 11th, which is still not bad. But the problem is that the overall yardage has gone up dramatically. So I hate to use the terminology because we hear it so much of bend but don't break. But even when this team bends, and they don't get a turnover, they break.
Well,
you know, they
this.
Did hold them to field goals, though. I will give them that because they could have had – I mean, if the Chargers had actually put it in the end zone, that game could have been over in the first quarter.
Bill, I remember covering those first two home games against Minnesota and Denver way back in September. And defensive backs like Kevin King, Alexander, you might even throw Savage. You know, guys were all talking in front of the huddle, and people were peppering them with questions. And, hey, do you think you're the best defense in the league? And those guys were talking very brashful.
Yep.
About their defense, they're being. I was like, oh boy, this defense quite isn't there yet, is it? And certainly enough, I don't think the defense is as bad as it's playing right now, but certainly not the number one defense in the league like these guys were talking about early in the season.
Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live at Bullwinkle's here on Blue Mount Road in Brookfield. The Bill Michaels Huddle is brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And even though the offense didn't do much against the Chargers, there is one thing you can't take away from them, and you can also say they are for real. And I'll tell you why when we come back. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I think they put in solid days of work of preparation, but ultimately you got to go out there and play the game. And until we do that, I mean, talk's a cheat.
The Packers join the Patriots, who are 8-0. The 49ers, or I should say the 49ers, who are 8-0. The Patriots, who are 8-1. The Saints, who are 7-1, and the Seahawks, who are 7-2, is the only teams in the NFL with at least 7 wins this season. Packers look to get back into the winning ways this weekend as they've got the flexed game coming up this weekend against the Carolina Panthers. That's a 3:25 game that'll air on Fox, and they want to get this win under their belt going to the bye week because then they've got another big one coming up against San Francisco. Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM and 12:50 AM, the Fan alongside. And we're sitting here talking a lot about the defense, Chuck, but one of the things about the offense is once they have played the San Francisco 49ers, they will have played 7 of the top 10 defenses. The only one they did not beat was obviously the Chargers this weekend. The Chargers are up there as well. Philadelphia, by the way, Philadelphia's not that bad off. They're 19th, but overall they're right around 12. But they will then have played 7 of the top 10 defenses. So for people to say, well, they got lucky or they got this or they got that, you know, or they played Patrick Mahomes when he wasn't there, you know, they're still playing top defenses and they're still putting points on the board. I'm not taking anything away from the Packers.
No, the Packer offense, other than the number 2 wide receiver, I think that's the one area that's still a mystery. Here we are this far into the season, and, you know, Davante Adams has missed a good portion of that, you know, other than that first handful of games. But we haven't had a guy, MVS, Geronimo hasn't stepped up. You know, the tight end spot has been spotty, although Jimmy Graham has actually given him more production than I thought. But, you know, he can't run. He moves about as quick as a foul pole. That's how movable he is. And still, he'll make a block every once in a while. But I feel like other than the running backs coming out of the backfield and catching swing passes and even going downfield, which is a little unconventional, and, you know, Devontae working back in the system, I think at that number 2 wide receiver spot, Bill, that still is a problem. And I wanted them to correct that at the trading deadline. They never did. Wide receivers went everywhere except Green Bay. But I think that's going to be, at the end of the day, maybe if this team doesn't win a Super Bowl, we might be saying, hey, you know what, the wide receiver spot next to Devontae, no one ever stepped up in that area.
Do we look? Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a downfield guy. We know that. And then you got Geronimo Allison, who's more of a slot receiver. But my question at the time was, do they have to go get another guy the way they were doing it? And then everybody wants to look at the return of Davante Adams last week and go, well, they targeted him 11 times, far more than anybody else. And Davante Adams' return and Aaron Rodgers forcing him the football screwed the game plan up. And I take Matt LaFleur at his word, because Matt LaFleur at the end of the game said, you know, hey, we never even got into our game plan. And we were throwing it all over the field, and it was almost like he was insinuating, hey, Aaron was going for Devontae the whole time and there was nothing I could do about it. I mean, I don't know if there was this was one of those reset weeks, but I certainly hope that it's different next or this coming week.
Didn't you find that odd?
I did.
You work on a game plan all week and then your head coach comes out after
and
the
says
game.
We never got into it.
Never got the game plan.
Right.
Were the Chargers that stifling that you couldn't get in your game plan?
Right.
How did you not get it? What? I mean, that whole thing, the whole trip out to Los Angeles was a mess. And on top of it, did you leave the playbook back in the Schwabenon?
Right. He kind of just said that we never got into our game plan. So I just, this is when you get adversity. And we've talked about this coming into the season, that if there is adversity, we'll say, because everybody wanted to focus on the relationship between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, that was probably it. That was the only, because the offense looked terrible.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams caught some passes, but didn't catch any big passes, didn't get big yards. They couldn't hardly put the ball in the end zone. And the one when they did actually go back to what was working for them prior to the return of Devontae, they drove right down the field and they scored.
I thought even in the fourth quarter they had a shot in this game, even though they're down three scores.
Yeah.
But about 7.5 minutes to go, I just even thought Aaron, there was a lack of urgency from him. He's taking all the time in the play clock,
yeah,
and he's letting that thing wind down to 5 seconds. And I'm like, he does know they're behind by 3 touchdowns in this
right,
game, doesn't he?
Right.
So, man, I mean, his lack of urgency, he was sauntering up to the line of scrimmage and the shotgun, and I'm like, and throwing these short little passes, and guys weren't getting out of bounds. I'm like, why? What's going on? I mean, I just didn't understand. There's not a thing I understood. There's sometimes in a Packer game, every once in a while, not necessarily once a year, there is a game where you just don't understand what the heck's going on. The
right.
whole operation is messed up. And I'm hoping that was the one game all year this past Sunday against the Chargers.
Maybe this was the, hey, this is the way we're going to do it game. This is where Matt LaFleur sits there with his pointer and shows things on the screen and says, no. We're going to go here. Because there were times, I mean, Mike Clemens talked about it. Gary and I talked about it during the postgame show, where you had Aaron Jones wide open out of the backfield.
Yep.
Aaron Jones goes from 20 touches and 250 yards a week before mm-hmm. to like 9.
See, the feast of famine with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it's like they just forget about him,
yeah.
you know, and they just decide we're just going to throw the ball downfield. That's the only thing that I can say is that, you know, if that was what happened, then I expect them to go back to the game plan and to see the same team we've seen in weeks prior this weekend with the accentuation of Devontae Adams. Because Devontae, to me, if Devontae's used right, he is such a weapon not only when he's catching the ball, but when he's not. Because then you got to pay attention to him. So we did see him catch the ball, but you got to pay attention to him to then be able to say, okay, that's going to open up the field for Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Geronimo or Jimmy Graham or Mercedes Lewis or Aaron Jones or Jamal out of the backfield. That's where he can be an asset as well. You don't have to force the ball to him for him to be an asset.
Yeah, I agree, but he's got to – you know, there's some games when he has touches, Jones has touches, and there's other games, you know, it's 7 carries for 28 yards and a couple of passes out of the backfield. Mike Clemens, who, you know, you and I have known for a long
who's
time.
Who's listening right now and
yeah,
instant messaging me.
Made a great point on our morning show, the Chuck and Winkler show, 6 to 10 in the morning. He said the other day that he thought the Packer roster was, subtly said, that he thought the Packers had 5-4 talent on their roster. And he goes, you know, it's great that they're 7-2, but this might be a roster more suited to 5-4. There's something to be said about that. Maybe the team, and this is only one game, but maybe he's got a point there. Maybe this team isn't as good as we thought it is.
Right. Man, it's tough for me.
You know
to,
what I'm saying? Maybe it's not. I mean, 5-4.
When
tells you
beat some of the top teams, it's so tough to say you're 5-4. To win in Dallas, you watch. I mean, people
Dallas
say,
is playing well. There,
Dallas has played well. Well,
yeah,
you talk about the Vikings and what the Vikings are doing now, and then the Vikings are they're one of the hottest teams, and then they went into Kansas City and got beat.
Yeah,
you know, the Packers went into Kansas City and got a win. So you tell me which is a good team and which is a bad team? Because at first it was well, you got the Vikings early, and now they're rolling, and you got lucky because you didn't get Patrick Mahomes. Well, then the Vikings go in there the next week, and they get beat.
Yeah.
So tell me what's a good team and what's a bad team.
Yeah, Kansas City. I still think the game against Kansas City was Green Bay could have lost that game.
They could have.
But
they won it. Good teams figure out ways to win.
And they lost to Philadelphia at home on a Thursday night at Lambeau Field.
And that was a game that
they could have won.
They could have won. They had
yeah,
so many mistakes in that
yeah,
ball game, even at the very end when they ended up committing the turnover. They could have won that game. They could be sitting here right now. Legitimately, they got beat by the Chargers. They beat them up.
Yeah.
But they could legitimately be sitting here 8-1 right now, getting ready to
sure,
go 9-1 if they get into the bye week with the Carolina Panthers win.
Or as Clemens said, he's right. They could be 5-4 at this point as well. A couple of those could have gone the other direction. You know, when they beat Chicago that first week of the season, Bill, I thought, okay, man, the defense was real good, and they stopped the Bears, and we're now finding out the Bears are just brutal.
The Bears are bad.
Bears are bad, and, you know, offensively, they're just bankrupt.
And the Bears are bad in so many ways, because we know Mitch Trubisky's not a great quarterback.
No.
But Matt Nagy has become suddenly obstinate and stupid. It's not like he forgot football. It's like exactly what Gary Ellerson has always said. He's always going to outthink himself.
Well,
he's
then,
always going to do more than he should. He's always going to try to be the smartest guy in the room, and he's not, and he needs to stop it.
Well, then, that first week, I thought that was a quality win. Turning out, I mean,
yeah.
Road win on primetime is always a
road
huge
win,
anyway.
Primetime, Thursday night, kick off the season, all the hoopla around the team coming out of last year. You know, I still think, even though the Bears haven't performed well since then, I still think that was a very good win for the Packers.
But, you know, the Dallas game, they go in there late afternoon on a Sunday afternoon, and the Cowboys, were coming off the loss to the Saints.
Right.
And, you know, Dallas was still considered one of the top, you know, and they rolled this past week.
And they have been since. I mean, they're beating up on bad teams.
But the Packers going in there and winning handily in it. You know, Dallas,
I thought it was great.
So what then brings the point, I mean, was there any wins against Super Bowl contenders? Was there any legit wins where you can look and say, is Dallas a Super Bowl contender?
They were at the beginning of the season.
Bears at the beginning of the season, possibly.
I never thought they were going to be that good. But I still think they're a better team than what they're showing right now, even. I know their record is what it is, but I still think they got more talent on that team.
I mean, went over the Oakland Raiders at home. That could have, fumble kind of turned that game around.
That did.
But
I agree.
Was there any great victories where you said, man, I mean, if
the only team, Minnesota's a team that's expected to do things.
Yeah, now, they beat them at Lambeau. They got out to the early lead, the Packers.
I always say,
close
though,
that one out.
With Kirk Cousins, he's never won more than 10 games, and he's never won a playoff game. So how much of a Super Bowl contender can you consider them? But he's a regular season stat machine.
Yeah.
You know?
They had one more in a row until losing at Kansas City. But something tells me they're going to go into San Francisco and hand the Niners their first loss.
I would love to see it.
In a few weeks.
Now, remember, Mike McCarthy was always good coming out of a bye.
Yeah.
Always good.
And
that's the other thing. The Packers faced a lot of teams that had time off to get ready for that game.
And I always thought the Packers were always good over the years coming back from just horrible performances like this past Sunday.
Yeah.
They'd bounce back at home and destroy somebody. I think that's what's going to happen in this Carolina game. And
that's what I think a lot of people are holding their breath for. I said at the beginning of the season, I said, Dallas, Kansas City, those are the two litmus tests to find out how good you are.
Yep.
Well, they won on both of those games. They're both on the road. Now you look at it and say, okay, what's the next team you got to win at? There's probably two more. You probably say San Francisco and then going into Minnesota at the end of the season.
Well, that means Carolina. You got to win this game against Carolina, because if you lose, and then you lose at San Francisco after the bye, it's 7-3.
Then it's two conference losses, too.
And then you're thinking maybe not a top two seed in a home field advantage, and
what else?
First round bye might be impossible.
We'll talk about this Carolina game when we come back, because there's only, I think, Carolina's defense doesn't really scare me.
No,
they don't scare me, and McCaffrey scares me. But is McCaffrey running for four touchdowns? Because for him to beat the Packers, I think he might have to run for six. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, for that team to actually beat the Packers, I think the Packers are going to put a 35 spot on them.
They're going to have to. If you jump out to an early lead,
you take McCaffrey out of the game.
You do. You force. I mean, let's say you jumped out a 14-21 lead, maybe you take them out of their game plan a little bit, and then they have to. I mean, teams, that's happened to Green Bay.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this upcoming game. Chuck Freeman alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We are broadcasting live. We are at Bullwinkle's out here in Brookfield on Blue Mountain Road. Come on by and say hi. Would love to have you out here. Great crowd out here as well. As always, I love this place. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. We'll be back right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It was such a different feeling, you know, we just didn't have that normal juice. I just felt like, you know, maybe we gotta, I don't know, rest more guys on, you know, on the day off or whatever. We just look at what we did on those 2 days and make sure that, you know, we were feeling super energetic on game day. You know, I'm not calling anybody specifically out. I was just saying that there was obviously something, you know, that threw us off a little bit energetically, and we just got to fix that for our next trip.
Welcome back to the program. Those are the words of Aaron Rodgers. We are broadcasting live out here at Bullwinkle's on Blue Mound Road in Brookfield. If you want to stop by and say hi here till 8 o'clock, check 105.7 FM. The Fan in Milwaukee here with us as well. And also, if you want to come out and get something to eat, we're brought to you by Bud Light. You can always have one of those to wash whatever it is you grub on down. So there you have it. We are talking about this matchup coming up between the Packers and the Carolina Panthers. Packers sitting at 7-2 right now after an ugly loss coming out of L.A., and the Chargers just knock them off, manhandled them more so than anything. So we're sitting here during the break talking a little bit, Chuck. By the way, Chuck is face first into a set. Now, that's got Euro meat on it, right? Oops, sorry about that. Here we go. There you go.
The salads here are just off the charts, man.
Yeah.
And the old Greek salad. I'm a big fan of the Greek salads.
Are you?
Yeah. And well, when I get the Greek salad, and they always ask you, do you want chicken or Euro meat with it? Always go for the Euro meat.
Yeah.
At least I do. Fantastic.
That's
yeah.
That's the real deal.
It is.
Maybe you just want to get a Euro.
Well, yeah, but I'm a big Euro guy, but lately it's been salads.
Yeah.
A little bit more healthier for you.
Yeah.
And really good. I would say Bullwinkle's got dynamic.
That's fantastic. That looks really good. I always get every time I come here, it depends on what I'm doing. Now, if I'm coming up here and I'm going to imbibe and I'm on one of those diet breaks, mm-hmm. They've got Reuben rolls up here you can go face first into.
Okay.
They've got some good nachos, taco salads. They got good burgers, pizzas. But I'm not going to come here for a pizza. I'm going to come here for the burgers and stuff because they got great wraps too. So I'll
do
all of that.
You have a salad tonight. That looked pretty good.
So I got a salad tonight. I'm back on the wagon a little bit. Last 2 weeks I'm down 7, so I'm feeling good. You know, I'm just trying to. I've got a lot of stuff coming up, and we have now you're coming. So Sherry and I have the ugly sweater party coming up.
So middle of December.
So
we just got to figure out a way to ditch our 8-year-old.
So we've got the ugly sweater party coming up at the house. And we usually kind of open it up and we get, you know, send out about 100, 120 invitations. And you usually get 50 to 60 people there.
Yeah.
So the one thing is you can find on Facebook, and I'm sure everybody gets this. If you go to Facebook and you start scrolling through it, you'll start to see the advertisements for ugly sweaters mm-hmm. or ugly sweatshirts, you know. And you click on it and you're like, this is really cool. So you order it. You know, and one has, like, Santa's shirt ripped open, a bunch of abs. Like, last year I had one that had gold chains all over it, and I was like a Santa rapper. But they were all nasty looking. I don't care who you are. But they're all from China. And the Chinese have a tendency to run a little bit different in sizes.
Yeah.
So they're, like, extra large. It's really, it wouldn't fit my thigh. So I got to go, like, 4X. Last year I got one that was 4X. It didn't even cover my midriff. I look like a 16-year-old high school schoolgirl that was going to show my midriff at a football game.
I can't remember the one you had last year.
I had one. It was actually pretty cool. I found another one online that I bought. It was, like, $26, a big hoodie.
Yeah.
And that one was actually kind of cool. It looked like a Santa, you know, had the shirt open, and it had, like, gold chains, and it says Santa Dog. On it. It was actually pretty cool.
I know those house parties, usually you don't have to eat for 2 days afterwards.
That's true. Now, this one isn't the spaghetti dinner. This one is kind of like everybody brings something. And
but still, that's still filling, man.
But I supply the alcohol. So we got Bud Light brings a bunch over. Our friends from Milwaukee Brewing bring a bunch over. You know, we got so much wine at the house, it isn't funny. And then the mixed drinks start flowing. And we did those peppermint snow blowers last year. Oh, my goodness.
Well, last year we bought the couple of sweatshirts online. But my girlfriend Shannon says, you got to buy new ones every year. And I'm like, can't we just use the ones from last year?
She wants
to buy new ones.
Unless you dated somebody as big as you, then you just switch.
Yeah.
You know?
Nah, just use the same ones over and over, man.
So, and Sherry, I don't even know what she wore last year. Oh, she wore the Mrs. Claus little skinny, tiny dress thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so that wasn't necessarily an ugly sweater.
It was an ugly sweater.
No.
Yeah.
But wore the hat. So, and she loves to dress up the dogs, too, so it's a party for the dogs as well.
I have a dog, too, by the way.
What's that?
I do have a bone again for the dog.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool. Well, the dogs will be looking forward to that. So, this game coming up this Sunday, you've got the Packers taking on the Carolina Panthers. One of the things that I was talking about when the offense, if the offense gets going, I think they're going to hang a 35 on them at least. Carolina 21st in the league right now as far as points given up per game, defensively speaking, averaging 25.5 points per game. So, as much as McCaffrey... And I know McCaffrey is the name that everybody brings up and says, man, that guy scares me. He's going to run all over the Packers. Their run defense hasn't been good, on and on. If the Packers get off to a fast start and they do put points on the board, say you get up 14 or 21-3, 21-7, 21-0, it's forcing Carolina to throw the football, and their defense gives it up. So I think the Packers' methodology has been get a stop, get the ball back, score, kind of put pressure on them, specifically at home, and therefore you can start that snowball effect of a team panicking almost and trying to catch up on the road, and that's been beneficial for the Packers at home.
Kyle Allen's been winning some games with Carolina. Yes, it's not that bad. And, you know, I still think that they're better with Cam Newton as their quarterback, and, you know, obviously Cam's not going to be playing.
I think Cam Newton has all the talent in the world in the 10-cent head. I just do.
Yeah.
Ever since he dropped the mic at the podium at the Super Bowl and just acted like a petulant ass.
Yeah, I don't like guys that do that either.
He has never been the same quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got an amazing ability, and, you know, he was the talk of the league for a while, but it was so short-lived. And, you know, you got to believe that he might be on a different team next year. But I think Carolina's better with Cam as a quarterback. You know, Kyle's done a nice job, Kyle Allen. But, you know, I think if you force that, you get up to a 21-3, or if you're fortunate to get up 14-3 and take them a little bit out of their game plan, and you force Kyle Allen to beat you, I'll take my chances with Aaron Rodgers getting in a shootout with Kyle Allen 365 days a year.
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, you can. Feel free to go ahead and do so. Stop on by. We are broadcasting live out at Brookfield, out in Brookfield, at Bullwinkle's in Brookfield. If you want to come on in and grab a bite to eat and hang out with us a little while, we would love to have you here. Chuck Freeman's alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. So getting back to the Packers offensively speaking, let's go back to the innuendo that Matt LaFleur kind of had at the end of the game the other day, who said we never got into our game plan. He said that. What was your first thought? When he said we didn't get into our game plan and we kind of threw it all over the place, he didn't call it street ball or backyard ball. I can't remember the terminology he used. But basically, they started just throwing the football around way too much.
I thought, you know, what the heck? I said something else. You know what I mean? But I said, you know, for
I know
the
you
audience,
did.
I said, well, you know, what the heck? How do you throw? How do you not get into your game plan? How does any coach not get in?
They've been so good with scripted plays. If that's not your game plan, then what?
On top, you got the 15, 20 scripted plays to start the game. How do you get away from that?
Yeah.
It wasn't like the Chargers put 21 points on the board in the first quarter. They were kicking field goals.
It was 9-0 at half.
Yes. So how did you get taken out of your game plan? I don't understand. I don't understand why they were out of the game plan. I don't understand how that failed.
I don't either. I thought about that, and I thought, okay, the first thing that comes to mind is, was Aaron Rodgers forcing the ball to Davante Adams? That was the first thing.
Okay.
And we did see guys open, and I went back. I had a little time the last couple of days, so I went back and watched the All-22. And yeah, there were some guys open, and I'm sure there was the pointer, the little infrared or laser pointer in whatever meeting it is they have. I'm sure they were using it a couple times going, hey, you might want to look in this direction, you know. And then the other thing that I found disconcerting, and I hate to say it because I always praise him, but then again, if I praise him, I figure I can kind of cut on him too. But Dari and Brian Bulaga had a horrible game.
I think David's play is
And Billy Turner was just – he got the hell beat out of him.
Billy Turner's the worst offensive lineman on the team.
But probably, yeah.
Billy Turner was the
he's been 50-50 or better than that.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, he's been okay. He hasn't sustained the way they hoped he would.
When they picked him up off the Broncos, I didn't look at a guy who was going to come in here and really be a force on the line. He's been a journeyman offensive lineman, basically. He's been rated as that. He's nothing great. And they got him for a song in free agency, basically. So, but I mean, the two left tackles, Bulaga, God bless Brian Bulaga, how he's even playing. All the injuries that he's had and going through more injuries. And he's had a pretty good year, but yeah, he didn't play well. And then Bakhtiari's leveled off a little bit. He's had some holds. He's had some fast false starts. He's done a few things.
He's had a very uncharacteristic year this year.
Hasn't had a Pro Bowl year.
No.
Hasn't, and I hope it's not the beginning of him going on the downside of his career. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's just having a tough year.
Yeah. He has not had the year that that you'd kind of hoped. He's had a little bit of a subpar David Bakhtiari type of year. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Broadcasting live here at Bullwinkle's out in Brookfield. Chuck Freeman alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We've got a lot more coming up. Brought to you by Bud Light. We'll be back after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Talk about the challenge of going back on the road to Green Bay where it's supposed to be snowing and high 32 degrees and all and just playing up there.
It's exciting, man. My family grew up in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, and I grew up watching Green Bay games. So to be able to play in Green Bay and against a great team who's playing really well right now. It's going to be an awesome challenge. We're excited for it, but we got to watch this tape, see what it is, and I know we're excited.
Welcome back to the program. We are broadcasting live here. We are in Brookfield, Wisconsin. We are at Bullwinkle's right here, and across the street from the corners of Brookfield, as a matter of fact. If you want to come by on Blue Mound Road and say hi from 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan. Chuck Freeman is here as well, and we hope to see you as a face in the crowd coming up here in just a little bit. And we were brought to you by our great sponsor, been with us a long, long time. It's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And as we get into the program, got to say hello to our junior baseball team over here, the Brookfield Central, the Lancers, the junior baseball team hanging out tonight.
Yeah, how about that? They're
good stuff.
Coming in.
Good stuff. Coming in and hanging out for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids in a bar, you got to start them young. That's what they do in Brookfield.
There's no curfew, apparently, with the Lancer baseball team. I thought the curfew was like 6 o'clock that these guys had to be in bed,
maybe,
but they're still out.
Maybe during the season.
Okay.
Maybe out of season, you can come in and
yeah, baseball season's over.
There you go. Get them a Bud Light shirt.
We have plenty of those around here.
No doubt. So we were sitting here talking about this upcoming game, and we'll get predictions and stuff coming up here in the next hour, specifically not only for this game but for the rest of the NFL as well. But I was saying before, I think the Packers are going to come out. They're going to hang a 35 spot on them. After what went on, I as much as we want to talk about when they said they didn't get into the offense, okay, when Aaron Rodgers, after the game, kind of went through some of the things that did not work and then said, you have to rinse it, get rid of it, I think this is that kind of game. After the game, it was a lot of people just angry and mad and emotional, and you guys were taking calls. I was listening on Monday morning coming into work, and it was probably – you know what? We'll look at it and kind of go through with a few things and see where we had problems. And after that, this was just not us. This game just sucked. And I think they burn it. Just blow it off and get rid of it.
It's like one of those days when you get up and nothing can go right. And it's like, man, just got to get through the day. Maybe that was the with the Packers. Now, we'll find out more. That's why I think they're going to come back and they're going to bounce back and destroy Carolina on Sunday. Because I think they're going to come out with a different passion. They are not going to ever, I don't think they will ever, at least this season, have another flat, unenthusiastic performance like they did on Sunday. Now, is this on Matt LaFleur? I think we keep going back to that, the performance end of it, because I think we're just baffled by it. Maybe Matt LaFleur didn't have the correct pulse of his team. You know, sometimes how a team gets a little fat and a little full of themselves a little bit, and a coach has got to light them up at practice once in a while.
Yeah.
Or get on them before a game and get them going. Maybe these guys were getting a little bit high in themselves and all that, and LaFleur just kind of stepped back and all that, and these guys went casually into this game. And the old so-called, I hate that term, wake-up call, but maybe that was it here, Bill.
No, I agree. I'm not a big fan of the wake-up call thing because, to me, if you're a championship team, you're always awake.
16 games.
But we've seen the Patriots play bad at one point or another. As a matter of fact, they got beat. They got knocked off by a good Baltimore team this past weekend. So who knows? Maybe that was their wake-up call. Maybe this was one for the Packers. And, you know, we always talk about the comparison of putting them up against the Patriots. Well, the Patriots stumbled this weekend as well.
Yeah, they got beat by Baltimore on Sunday.
That's a good Baltimore team, but they got beat by a very, very athletic quarterback.
Oh, he's great. Jackson is a fantastic.
Reminds me of a young Cam Newton.
Yeah, it does. Baltimore, I think there were a lot of doubts in what type of quarterback he was going to be. But watching that game on Sunday night, I came away thinking Baltimore is the second-best team in the National Football League right now. They got to be. They are the first. I got them as number one. I initially thought number two, but I think they're, you know, I had a lot of respect for New England, and to just dominate like they did. Now, I didn't think New England was as flat as Green Bay. I mean, the two best teams in the NFL got beat last week. I don't think New England's problem was a lack of effort. I think Green Bay's problem was a lack of effort when they lost.
Right.
But
I would agree with that. I think it was a lack of effort. We could talk about focus, whatever you want to kind of throw into it. I don't, you know, Matt LaFleur talked about getting out there late and the comments to Tracy Wolfson during halftime saying, you know, they're still tired. They look like they're sleepwalking. I hope they wake up. This is just a lot of weirdness to this game.
There is. And this game coming up against Carolina, I think they're going to shed that weirdness by coming out. Crowd is going to be fired up. And I'm going to tell you, just like I thought the Minnesota game and how they played against Oakland, I think they're going to come out with a little passion. I'm not saying Rodgers is going to have a career day like he had against the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
but I'm with you. I think they're going to lay a 35 spot on these guys.
I'm thinking 35. They'll end up dropping on them. And I think the defense even plays better. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much better, but I think the defense plays better as well. I mean, obviously, you got to be able to stop the run. And you hope that they – look, if you can give up 120 yards and only have McCaffrey in the end zone one time, yeah, I think you take that. I think everybody would take that.
And I think if you look at the big picture, if they win this game, they go into the bye week 8-2.
Right.
No matter how you got there, lost to the Chargers, but you won maybe some games you didn't think you were going to win. Now, before the season started, you thought going into Kansas City, you didn't know they were going to have an injury at the quarterback spot, but you said, oh, you know, we might lose that game. But they won.
Right.
They won in Dallas. They won in Chicago. So on the overall big picture, 10 games in, going into the bye week, you would love to be 8-2.
Teams that are playing tonight, the Chargers taking on the Raiders. The Chargers, after the win over the Packers, trying to get back to 500 at 4-5. The Raiders at 500 at 4-4. And those two teams are going to square off this evening on Thursday Night Football in about 20, 25 minutes. And we'll also start picking games here at the bottom of the next hour, so hang in there. We are broadcasting live at Bullwinkle's here in Brookfield on Blue Mound Road. Come on in. Enjoy yourself. Grab something to eat. Grab a beverage or two. We're brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. They'd be happy to serve you one up without a doubt. Come on in and say hello, and we'll talk to you in a bit, okay? And we got another hour yet to go. The Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by Bud Light, continues coming up right after this.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Good evening and welcome. Second hour of the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live. We are here at Bullwinkle's. We are in Brookfield, Wisconsin on Blue Mound Road. This is where you can find us here for another hour. Come on by and say hello. And Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM and 1250 AM, The Fan in Milwaukee here alongside. We hope to see you as a face in the crowd here tonight. And we're getting ready for the Packers and the Carolina Panthers coming up on Sunday. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow, going to be on the road. I'm going to be at the home of the Wisconsin Herd tomorrow for the regular show.
The Menominee Arena?
The Menominee Arena. I'll be live there tomorrow from 10 to 2. And then tomorrow night, we will air from the Leaps and Bounds Cafe inside Lodge Kohler with Mason Crosby. So our Lodge Kohler kickoff tomorrow night.
Lodge Kohler, we were up there a couple of weeks ago before a game on a Saturday.
Yeah.
There was we ran into Earl Dotson, the former Packer,
signing autographs
in the lobby there.
Yeah.
Man, what a beautiful place. Are you on the first floor, or where are you broadcasting?
We're on the first floor now in Leaps and Bounds. We do right in front of that fireplace.
Okay, yeah.
It's kind of a fireside.
It's a cozy place, yeah.
Here's the thing that nobody knows about.
They give away what?
Wine.
They give away wine.
They give away wine. They do a wine tasting.
I'll tell that to the ladies.
During the show.
Yeah.
And they give away wine. They come out. They count how many people are there. And it's usually anywhere from 30 to 50. And everybody gets a free.
Samples, but you get a big glass.
No, no, no. You get a glass of wine.
Okay.
So if you're a wine drinker, and they do nothing but 93 or above when it comes to the rating system. So if you're a wine drinker, and we have Gianni. Chuck Freeman alongside. We're broadcasting live at Bullwinkle's here in Blue Mound on Blue Mound Road in Brookfield. Come on back. We got more Packers chatter. Phil, that's coming up next.
Wisconsin wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We're going to be more aggressive last week and stuff. I mean, it just. You know, the one opportunity, like I said, it didn't present itself. I mean,
you know, I'd had a, probably a more aggressive return call called, and then, you know, there's some yardage, and then it just, you know, got more to midfield. I mean, where you look at where fakes happen at and things like that, I mean, the closer you get to midfield, there's a little – people are going to be more aggressive on the punt team and those kind of things. So, again, it's – there's no one besides our core and myself and our coaches want to get this thing going more than us, you know what I mean? So, but it's one of those deals where at the end of the day we've been – try to, and you've heard me say before, complimentary football. I mean, I don't want to be so aggressive that all of a sudden you get a fake run on you and they keep a drive going in a close game and you're like, why did you do that? You didn't need to do that and stuff. So, you know, for me, it starts with me being a rookie coordinator and stuff, and we'll those opportunities as it gets colder and those kind of things, I think they'll present themselves.
Welcome back. Sean Menenga, he is the special teams coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, talking there about their special teams. Chuck and I, Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM, The Fan, and also from 1250 AM here tonight as well. We were talking about special teams a little bit earlier, and he's got certain plays called. Just hasn't been very special. I mean, don't get me wrong, J.K. Scott has been, for the most part, simply fantastic in flipping the field, and I think Crosby only has one miss on the season, so he's been extra special as well, but... the return game, coverage at times, has not been anywhere near as good as it needs to be.
And that's on the players, too. You know, it's at the bottom of the roster out there.
Yep.
Playing special teams. And
I really thought it'd get better this year. I thought they were much, much deeper this year.
I still think they're a deep team, but for whatever reason, those guys at the bottom of the roster who, you know, you make your bones by doing a few things on special teams, and those guys got to play better.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think it's always on the coordinator. I mean, I think sometimes... In sports, you know, coaches and managers get too much to blame. At what point is it on those guys at the bottom of the roster who should be playing for rosters?
No, I completely agree. I was listening to you this morning with Ryan Wood, and he was talking about it's not just the guy that's bringing the ball back. It's about the gunners on the outside getting downfield because the Packers' return unit, the blocking unit, to keep those gunners off of him, have not been good. The one-on-one blocking has not been good on the outside, and I guess now it's something that if you're a Packers fan and you're not just following the football, something you got to watch now. You got to watch it going downfield to make sure that, hey, why are these gunners getting downfield so early? Why are they not getting pushed around a little bit more? Why are they not getting stymied at the line of scrimmage? And now you start paying attention to it even more.
But it's about field position. When your return guys are averaging, you know, -8 yards on the season, I mean, that's terrible. Yep. I mean, not averaging, but I mean, a total yardage of -8.
Total yards is -8.
On the punt, that's awful. You know, those special teams, they got to at least get you some plus yardage, put you in better field position. When you're fair catching, and I told this to Wood this morning, I said, Wood, I feel like they're fair catching. I said, anytime I see a punt in the air, visiting team, I feel like our guy is fair catching.
Right.
And
you know what? If you've got a guy on top of you, that's not the returner's fault. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just sit there and get plowed over and then run the risk of turning the football over, as we've seen earlier this year. That's why the gunners, at least the blockers for the gunners, are so important. They got to keep those guys off of them.
I feel at this stage of the season, usually when we get to, you know, a few weeks before November, this is where we're talking about injuries really hampering the Green Bay Packers. I mean, year in, year out. And for forever, I feel like McCarthy couldn't figure out a reason why the team was so broken down physically.
Yeah.
I don't think we've really had that problem this year, Bill, with this
team. No, it hasn't been actually that bad when you talk about the injuries.
The health has been okay.
The injury report, I mean, Davante Adams has missed substantial time, but he's back. You've got Adrian Amos. He's got that hamstring. He has not participated this week. They've been kind of being precautionary with him. Balaga has got limited participation today. Oren Burke still nursing that chest and will all season long. Kenny Clark has a shin injury. But you go down through the rest of this, and everybody's either limited or participant. The only one that did not participate was Mercedes Lewis.
But the injury list looks long,
right?
But really is. I mean, those guys are all going to play. Most of those guys are going to play anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no key player where he's – like Blake Martinez. Now, he's listed on the injury report, but he was a full participant in practice.
Yeah.
And, you know, Blake is going to play in the game on Sunday.
Yep. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers is on the injury list with that knee injury still. You know, they say he's sore, but he's been a full participant. I mean, at what point, I guess, do you then take them off of the injury list? But this team's been, you know, knock on wood, they've been relatively healthy. So whatever they did this offseason, maybe changing up the staff, maybe putting Chris Gizzy in charge of the weight room or something, I don't know. But I know that they have yoga days now and core strength days now and all that kind of stuff. So maybe that's worked out for them.
I feel like Blake Martinez is the centerpiece of a lot of criticism on the run defense.
Very much so.
Do you think that's deserving? Now, when you watch some of the, you know, the All-22 as you were watching the other
day,
he's very good flowing to the football. He is.
He's good flowing to the football every now and then.
He's terrible shedding blocks.
He'll take a bad angle. If you get alignment on him, it's very tough to shed. He's not overly fast, which really, if you get matched up on him, that linebacker with either a really good tight end or a slot receiver, it's wide open field. But they've also played a ton of zone.
Yeah.
And Mike Pettine, for whatever reason, we talk about him dialing stuff up. He's either three- or four-man rush and dropping a lineman or dropping an outside rusher or a guy over the middle and playing a lot of zone and just trying to keep the ball in front of them. That's what I see a lot of them, is just keep the ball in front of you, and if you get it down inside the 20s, then the field becomes short, you can tighten up.
I wonder how that front office really feels about Blakeville and Martinez, if they feel they're going to get a big contract next year, or are they going to move on?
That's a good
through
question.
Free agency. I mean, they helped the outside linebacker spot through free agency this past year. I think we all agree. Getting the Smith brothers have been fantastic. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. But I think you need another guy that's going to be the man in the middle. You
and know that's what I'm mean? Wondering. Do they do that through free agency again, Bill? Complement the two Smith brothers on the outside?
I mean, even Roquan Smith, as good as he was, came in and had a solid season last year, but he wasn't like a wrecking machine.
No.
For the Chicago Bears. And he was playing on a really good defense with Trevathan and Khalil Mack and the guys they had in that secondary, including Adrian Amos. He was not a wrecking machine. He had his moments, but he's still learning. You can't expect a rookie, I don't care who you bring in, a rookie to come in and all of a sudden be some kind of wrecking machine in the middle.
Mark Murphy gave the general manager job to Brian Gutekunst. And I'm not sure, I mean, he gave it to him. I'm not sure Murphy felt 110% on board with the move he made. But I feel like Gutekunst trying to earn our trust a little bit is what he's doing as general manager.
Oh, absolutely.
He had you know, at least one good draft.
He's had a good draft.
Free agency, he's done a nice job.
And you can't fill every hole in the offseason and still keep your roster viable when it comes to money. So I understand where he's at, but I think he's done a tremendous job. It may have been a two-year process, you know what I mean, to get all the talent in there.
Ted Thompson
made it by the
it
end.
Is.
It really was.
He did such a just a bad job filling roster spots through free agency and had a couple of bad drafts. Gutekunst is trying to clean up what Ted didn't do. Ted had to clean up what Mike Sherman couldn't do as the general manager, coach of the team. So it's been a process. And I think Goody, just like Ted cleaned up the mess that Sherman was left with, I think Gutekunst has done a nice job so far in the early stages. And like you said, it might be a couple-year process on
this. It might be. And the fact that maybe they're sitting here at 7-2, maybe they're just that far ahead of schedule. Yep. But, like I said, a big test coming up against Carolina. Can they stop McCaffrey? And if they can and they get a win, they go at 8-2. I don't know how anybody could say 8-2 is a bad 8-2. It's you've beaten a lot of good teams. And then it comes San Francisco. If you go into San Francisco and win, you know you're for real.
I really want to get one of those top two wild cards. Not wild card spots. One of the top two playoff seedings in the NFC because you get a home field advantage.
Right.
And you get a first-round bye. I mean, you don't want to go on a road for a wild card game. Not that they can't win, but you don't want to go on the road. And you don't want to go on the road in a divisional playoff game.
Yep.
I mean, if you got to go on the road in the NFC championship game like they did in Atlanta a few years ago, okay. They won in Dallas 1 year in the playoffs a few years ago. But you'd rather, if you're going to go down, I want to see them go down at home. Not on the road where they're fighting a crowd in New Orleans.
No, I would agree. You don't want to go to New Orleans.
Oh, Seattle, New Orleans?
You don't want to go to New Orleans. Seattle, I think you can somewhat handle because you know you've been there, done that. You've had just a house of horrors as far as stupid moves. But you know how tough it is down there in New Orleans.
I think going anywhere on the road is tough, especially
those.
What's
the best home field advantage in football?
Well, it's not Lambeau. Remember, it used to be Lambeau. I think
it
New Orleans.
It used to be Lambeau.
Was it Seattle?
Because New Orleans lost this to the Rams, but they still, I mean, go back in that game. They couldn't score, and Drew Brees couldn't get him in the end zone early on, and that's ultimately what cost him. So I could say New Orleans would be one of my top ones. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, out in Seattle, and Seattle being obviously a top spot and tough place to play.
I don't feel Dallas is, even though they have 100,000 people there.
I don't think Dallas is. Packers went in as a wild card and knocked them off.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, Jared Cook on the sideline and Mason Crosby's field goal. So I don't know what's the toughest. And people say, you know, well, it could possibly be New England, and I would agree with that, but they're playing a lot of semi-good AFC teams.
But, you know, the Packers would never have to go to New England for a playoff game. That's a good thing, but I mean, in the NFC, I would say going to New Orleans
against that defense would be tough. Place to play.
It would be.
Lambeau may be second. I will say this, and you may have noticed it too, and I know we got to take a break, but Lambeau Field this year, do you notice it's louder this year than it has been in a while?
It is. I noticed that the Oakland game, Bill, that we were at a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. I thought, man, it seems like I don't know if it's because the PA guy and the Packers have done a nice job kicking the fans in the butt a little bit,
right,
telling them to get up and get going here, and it's okay to stand up and be loud for your team. But in Lambeau this year. Now, I still don't think
winning has something to do with that, obviously.
Sure, and having a good football team.
Yep.
And you know, their fans have been, you know, behind this team and quiet when Aaron's on offense.
Yeah.
But I don't think that home field mystique. Teams are not afraid to come into Lambeau as they once were. Used to be, you know,
the weather
want to come
used to be anything below what, 34 degrees, that team didn't win.
No.
34, 30, that all to
yep.
hell. And it's been kind of a goofy. And then don't forget, I mean, the guy that killed him twice was Eli. Twice, not once, but twice. Once against Brett Favre, once against Aaron Rodgers in that 15-1 season, and stole it both times. And then both times went on to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not the same fortress that it once was, but.
And they've lost playoff games because they lost that. You know, they lost to Michael Vick at Atlanta, and then they a few years later, they lost to Minnesota in a home playoff game. But still, look how many road disaster playoff games there have been.
Yeah.
Arizona, Seattle. You know, many years in Dallas.
The Arizona game recently, or the Arizona game some years
twice
back.
Twice in Arizona.
Yeah, against that team when Aaron Rodgers, his first year in the playoffs. That was a hell of a game.
That was a shootout.
That was a shootout. That was a hell of a game. It was just one hit and one fumble away from the Packers actually moving the football down and taking that thing, I think. The game, they lost an ugly game down in Philadelphia. That was 4th-and-26.
That was the name of Cobb fell on a microphone.
In Arizona, too. They lost that one there on the. And look, they've had some tough luck on the road, but you certainly just want it at home, just because if you do have a freezing cold game, the mystique of what it is, and if you have to play, let's say New Orleans has to come here and play in that weather, advantage Green Bay. If San Francisco has to come here and play in that weather, advantage Green Carolina, Dallas, any one of those teams that have to come here, advantage Green Bay.
Yeah, and Drew Brees, I still think, you know, even at his advanced age, just like Phil Rivers. I think people have a tendency to downplay Phil Rivers.
Once you get over 40 years old, I remember Brett Favre being hit on TCF Bank Field and curled up in a fetal position in the cold up there.
And he used to thrive in playing in cold weather.
Yes, he did.
And
by the end of his career, he hated it.
We all used to say, we used to say to Brett, how do you play so well in cold weather when you're from Mississippi? But then as the years went by, he did not want to be.
About it. We're broadcasting live at Bullwinkles. We are here in Brookfield on Blue Mountain Road. Come on by and say hi. The Bill Michaels Huddle is brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. When we come back, we'll start to look around the rest of the NFL, and if a certain team wins tonight, then we will ask, is that a good win for the Green Bay Packers? Can we consider that one a better one? Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Tell our D linemen, keep your double teams to yourself. We like to occupy two guys. We always feel like if one of our guys can occupy two of theirs, you know, a lot of times defending the run is all about the math at the point of attack. So if it's our one versus their two, now we're free behind him to go make a play. A lot of it is Blake should make a lot of tackles. That's just the nature of the position that he's playing. But I think Blake's very, very hard on himself, perfectionist, wants to get everything right. Overall, he said, some long stretches where he's played really well, and there's been a handful of times where, you know, I'm sure there's some plays he'd want back.
Should there be more game-changing type plays, forced fumbles, sacks, interceptions?
We don't tell guys to chase those plays. You know, if they come to you, they come to you. But I think he does a good job with, you know, when he tackles, he's tackling at the level of the football. You know, he's the second guy in. He's punching at it. I don't ever want guys to feel like they have to come out of structure. Oh, I need to make a big play. That's, you know, I'm supposed to do that. Like, you do it within the framework of your job, and that's how we want to go.
There you go. Matt LaFleur, the head coach of your Green Bay Packers, talking about Blake Martinez, who we were just discussing. He didn't come short and say, oh, by the way, Blake's trailing a lot of plays, but he also didn't say, hey, he's blowing him up in the hole. You know what I mean? Chuck Freeman alongside from 105.7 and 1250 AM, The Fan. Also, I'm Bill Michaels. We're broadcasting live at Blue Mound out here at Bullwinkles. Come on by and say hi. It's right at the corner of of Barker Road and Blue Mound Road right here on the next to the old abandoned Motel 6.
The old Gerke's Corners,
yes,
I would say.
Right across the street from Gerke's Corners. Keddie Corner to Gerke's Corners, as a matter of fact. But, yeah, we're out here. Come on by and say hi. So you've got the Oakland Raiders and the Chargers teeing off against one another. Oakland just scored. They've been putting a lot of pressure already on the Chargers and on Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers has also already thrown an errant pass. Oakland up 3-0. But so either one of these teams, let's say Oakland wins, they would go to 5-4 in the season. They are now a team over 500 and looking better each week. Or let's say if the Raiders win this game, does the Raiders win look that much better for the Packers?
No. It was a Lambeau. I mean, that's right. The Packers played both of these teams from the AFC West. No, I don't look at it that way. The Chargers tonight, I'll be curious to see how they come up, because usually when you have a big win like that against one of the top teams in the NFL, and they were ready for that game. They played that game like their lives were on the line. Their season was on the line, definitely against Green Bay. You know, a few days later, are they going to have a little letdown against Oakland? I mean, I feel like, the old John Wooden theory. Wooden used to say, after a big, usually you have that letdown no matter who you play in that next game. We'll see if the Chargers have that when they play the Raiders tonight. So far, the Chargers are having their problems.
Yeah, they're also the road team on a Thursday night. Road teams traditionally struggle on Thursday night, unless, of course, you're Philadelphia and Green Bay. Then you don't struggle. But road teams on Thursday nights tend to struggle more than anything. All right, we continue to move on. You've got an ugly game as Baltimore now goes into Cincinnati. Cincinnati has not won a game all season long. They are 0-8 on the season. The Ravens leading that division at 6-2. I can't imagine for the life of me even thinking that the Cincinnati Bengals would pull off a victory this weekend, especially after they benched Andy Dalton, and that thing still hasn't worked out. It's just been ugliness there. I'm taking the Ravens on the road.
Bill, in the Freeman Power Rankings, the Baltimore Ravens moved up from, like, 10th to number 1. And I just think they just earned a lot of respect.
They look good.
After that win against New England. The Bengals are terrible, going nowhere fast. And they're starting a new quarterback. They've benched Andy Dalton. I like Baltimore in this game.
Then you got the Lions on the road. They are 3-4-1, not looking good. And you got the Bears, who are at home back at Soldier Field at 3-5. The Bears are, I mean, both teams are desperate, don't get me wrong. The Lions have played better football this season consistently, more so than the Bears have. I want to take the Lions, but I have a feeling this might be a decent Mitch Trubisky. This is it for Mitch Trubisky. He either has a good game and kind of silences the critics and gets over it, or he has an absolutely horrific game, and this is the end of the Mitch Trubisky era, and the Lions get a win. I'm going to take the Bears at home to go to 4-5.
The Bears at 3-5. At 3:15 on Sunday, they will be, Bill, 3-6. I think the Lions go into Soldier Field as a 2.5-point underdog and win the game.
What is the spread on that game?
2.5.
2.5?
Bears are 2.5.
2.5? Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Look at that right here.
The spread is 2.5 on that one. Then you got to the Bills. The Bills are on taking on the Browns. The Browns, one of the most disappointing teams in the entire NFL so far this season, maybe next to the Chicago Bears. The Browns at 2-6. Baker Mayfield taking a lot of heat. They've had problems. They assembled a team of talent, but not any leaders inside that locker room, and it has been an absolute cluster. I'm taking the Bills on the road to get the win.
The Browns played such a disappointing game in Denver. You know, you talk about Green Bay coming up flat as a pancake on Sunday in Los Angeles, and I thought the Browns going to Denver, just an awful, awful performance against a Bronco team that had really nothing to play for, and the Browns just looked terrible. The Browns at home, I think Buffalo goes in and beats Cleveland and hands the Browns another loss.
You've got to the Falcons are on the road. They are sitting at 1-7 on the season against the 7-1 New Orleans Saints. And everything and anything has gone wrong down in Atlanta. No way in hell they go in and knock the Saints off in the Superdome. I'm going to take the Saints 7-1 to go to 8-1 on the season, and the misery continues for Atlanta.
Yeah, Bill, the Saints is a 14-point favorite in this game. I think New Orleans handles that one easily.
By the way, the Chargers, Phillip Rivers just threw a pick six. It is now 10-0 Raiders.
Where was that last week?
Yeah, I know, right?
Awful. He's got an interception.
They're hitting the hell out of him.
Yeah, he's got an interception that set up a Raider field goal, and now this pick six.
Yep, and now the pick six, which both times he got hit just as he was releasing the football. You've got the Giants at 2-7. They are on the road taking on the Jets. Jets sitting at 1-7. Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. This is the battle for New York. I'm taking the Jets.
Adam Gase's job is on the line, definitely at the end of the season, maybe before. I think the Giants win this one.
Got the Giants? Okay. Yep. We're split. Got the Cardinals 3-5-1 on the road, taking on the Buccaneers at 2-6. I don't know how this season's going to end up for the Cardinals, but I like their first. I like Kyler Murray. I think he's more of a baller than a lot of people gave him credit for. Just because I like him, and every time I pick the Buccaneers, they stick it to me. So I'm going to take the Cardinals on the road.
Buccaneers blew a two-touchdown lead, an early two-touchdown lead against Seattle on the road last week. They're back home this week. I think Arizona wins the game at Tampa as a 4.5-point underdog.
You got the Chiefs. The Chiefs are on the road. They're taking on the Tennessee Titans. And the Titans at 4-5, the Chiefs at 6-3. Chiefs got a nice win last weekend over the Minnesota Vikings. And Matt Moore certainly looks good. That defense just stinks right now. They need to play better. They get a little bit healthier against the Titans. They're starting to feel it. Trying to climb back to 5-5. I don't think they do it. I think the Chiefs on the road go to 7-3.
I'm with you, Bill. I think the Chiefs, a 6-point favorite in this game, on the road, knock off Tennessee.
When we come back, we'll go through the rest of the docket, including the Vikings and the Cowboys, the Seattle Seahawks on the road obviously the Packers and the Carolina Panthers. That is all coming up. The Bill Michaels Huddle continues. We are broadcasting live at Bullwinkle's out here on Blue Mountain Road in Brookfield. Come on by, say hi. We got more right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I was out there with no sleeves today, so I'm cool with it. The colder the better. I don't think those guys are practicing in anything like this, so colder the better.
Did some ball fights tonight?
It was some after practice. Ask Montrevious when y'all get done. He got hit in the face pretty hard. It was hilarious.
Did you throw it?
No, JK threw it. JK,
the punter's got an arm.
Takes down a defensive tackle.
JK has a cannon.
I'm not sure that's the smartest move in the world.
All right, he hears you. I think he's coming over to us. Tell us that story.
You let a punter snowball your face?
So you don't want to talk about it. No, it was really good. He was like mid sentence talking to me, attorney, and as he's doing it, JK just pegged him like he ate snow.
Like, what kind of distance are we talking? Is it like?
Know, in the parking lot, how when we come over there, on one side, we're on the other side, and we're kind of like ducked behind some cars because there's being snowballs being thrown from everywhere. That thing was hilarious.
Did you get him back?
Did he tell y'all how I got him though?
So I drive him over, right? I guess we're laughing at him, but we're getting out the car. I pull out the helmet from the back seat and snow all on top of the car. Next thing I know, he's just wiping. I just feel a chunk hit my head and my shoulder. From JK getting him, he was a little salty, but.
So there you go, Aaron Jones talking about the snowball fight that took off between him and JK Scott, and snowballs to the face and having a little fun and frivolity there at Lambeau Field. Welcome back to the program, the final segment of the Bill Michaels Huddle before we get out of here. Brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, Chuck Freeman for 1250 AM, 57 FM, The Fan alongside. And again, Bullwinkle's in Brookfield, right here on Blue Mountain Road. Come on by, terrific food, fun place. They always have the TVs on during Packers games. They probably have about 30 TVs in this place. Come on by and enjoy yourself. And you got some shopping across the street at Von Maur and some of the other home stores over there. Times, good people, good fun. As we continue on, the Dolphins at 1-7, Chuck, they finally got off the schneid. They were racing Cincinnati for the worst record in all of football. I picked them last week, by the way. I was feeling good about that. But I'm not picking them this week against Jacoby Brissett inside Indianapolis and Lucas Oil, the Luke as they call it. I'm going to take the Colts to go to 6-3. Oop.
Miami is still a bad team despite beating the Jets last week, and the Colts I think are good. And I think the Colts, as an 11-point favorite, I'll take the Colts here.
I really like the game setting up between the Rams and the Steelers. Steelers looked terrible to start the season, and now they found a little bit of a groove. And if they get this win at Heinz Field, maybe going to 5-4, maybe it gives them a little bit of life and they play a little bit better. Big game coming up for them, and even bigger for the Rams, who have to go from West Coast to East Coast. Rams sitting at 5-3, visiting Pittsburgh. I know I want to take the Rams, but my heart's going to say take the Steelers at home.
Well, the Steelers knocked off the Chargers in L.A., something the Packers couldn't do. Now the Steelers get the comforts of home at Heinz Field, and I think the Steelers win this one at home against the Rams.
Then you've got the Vikings at 6-3 on the road taking on the Cowboys. Again, following in the Packers' footsteps. I'm taking the Cowboys at home. This is going to be Cowboys go to 6-3, Vikings go to 6-4. This is going to be another game where we're going to say, well, how big of a win was it for the Green Bay Packers? Because the Packers beat the Vikings, and the Vikings couldn't beat these other teams. For everybody that wants to knock the Packers and the schedule and wants to say they're paper champions or whatever, it's going to be a pretty good team knocking off a pretty good, pretty at the time, a pretty hot team for the Vikings who up until last week performed pretty well. I'm going to say the Cowboys get the win. And the Vikings on the road have not scored near as many points as they have in the last few weeks. Vikings get beat again, and it's the offense's fault.
Yeah, a Sunday night football here. I'll be curious to see how the Vikings bounce back from that Steelers, that Chiefs loss. I think Dallas wins this one at home as a 3-point favorite.
I'm going to be looking forward to listening to that on the way back from Lambeau.
Yeah.
I have to do in the postgame show. Without
yeah, yeah, we'll probably get that one in the second half.
This is a big one. Monday night and a really good Monday night. The Seattle Seahawks at 7-2, fighting for the top spot in that division. They are on the road to take on the undefeated 49ers, who are 8-0 on the season. And as much as I want to take Seattle, I think that 49ers defense is going to just eat up what the Seattle has going on and Russell Wilson. I love Russell Wilson, and he's having a terrific year. But they also got some big numbers and big wins against a couple of cupcakes. But I'm going to take the 49ers at home to go to 9-0 with that defense.
Well, it's not often where the best matchup of the week is on Monday Night Football.
Right?
It almost looks like it was flexed that way, but... You know, that's that wasn't flexed out. That was, you can't do that, the Monday Night Football. They got a great matchup.
Yep.
I think the Niners win this one. But their first loss, as I told you earlier in the show, will come to Green Bay.
Come against Green Bay.
Right before Thanksgiving.
Yep. I would hope that comes to fruition as well. Now we got the Packers. Packers at home taking on the Carolina Panthers. Panthers at 5-3. Packers at 7-2. Packers coming off of an ugly loss from last week when they basically crapped the bed against the now the L.A. Chargers, who are getting the hell beat out of them tonight, as a matter of fact. Packers get the win in this one. I'm going to say the Packers get a win 35-24. They knock off the Carolina Panthers and kind of redeem themselves, and then they go into the bye week sitting at 8-2, which would be a tremendous feat for this team from where they were last year. Last year at this time, they were 3-5-1.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can get the win this week and go to 8-2, that is a fantastic turnaround for this ball club.
Well, we do a prediction video on our Twitter page and our Facebook page, and we put it out there on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yep.
Our local station. You're on that. You do the prediction as well. I put on there 35-20, so you and I are just almost on the same page in that one.
Yep.
Green Bay wins it.
I'm thinking the Packers offense gets going again. I think it gets back to doing what they were doing before Devontae came back and before they went into L.A. last week. So I'm with you. I think the Packers get it back on track. What happens if the Packers lose this one?
Well, then if they're faced with having to win that game in San, because if you lose that game at San Francisco, say goodbye to home field advantage in a first round playoff bye, because they're not going to get the top two.
Right.
So you better not win you better not lose against Carolina.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying the season's on high by any means.
But put it this way,
home field advantage might be.
You lose this game, and then on Sunday Night Football, the Vikings get a win. You are now tied with the Vikings for the top spot as well. How quickly things can change. Good to have you, buddy. Appreciate
it. Yo, it's always a walk in the park doing a show with you, my friend.
This is cake, man. It's thanks to everybody, the staff and management here at Bullwinkle's in Brookfield. We always appreciate coming out here. Love this spot and love being here each and every year. It's almost an annual thing for us. Thanks for coming out and enjoying us. Also, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Tomorrow, I'm going to be at the Menominee Arena?
Menominee Arena in Oshkosh, where the Herd play.
Going to be there tomorrow.
They have concerts there, too.
I'll be up at Lodge Kohler for the kickoff. You'll be on the air tomorrow morning from 6 to 10.
6 to 10,
so,
Bart and I.
On 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Boop!
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.